Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the LOA Blend. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm a little extra crispy with the biscuit and a side of macaroni and cheese, but all is well. Yes.
Good.
Well, yeah. I thank goodness that this smart grounding thing that I'm doing every week, or just about close to every week, but is I've mentioned this a bunch of times, is the acupuncture clinic that I'm going to. Because those people, they're keeping me. Because according to my pulse, I have clinical exhaustion. Like, according to my pulse, they look at me like I'm like this. I'm a wonder. You know, I'm like that Don Mayer song. I'm a wonderland. Yeah, I wish. Anyway, in my imagination. So, they're so nice, and they look at me, and the head doctor says, so is there anything that you can change right now? I said, well, I'd like to make vacation plans. That would be really great. I'd like to do that. So, I know when I'm really extra crispy, when that's like my porn, where I start going on Kayak or TripAdvisor, and I start, that's my porn. Then I know I'm in trouble. Then I'm like, uh-oh. And I submitted dates. I put in how many people, or one person. No, I never did one person. I did one person.
One person.
Yeah, two adults, one child, you know, whatever. I press the search button, and I see the results, and I'm like, and I shake my head, and I say, I don't say, oh, that's not possible. I just say, that's nice. That's nice. So when I start looking at the vacation sites, like it's pornography, like it's, you know, something that takes over me. It's not even that it's lustful or anything. It's just something takes over. And I think with some people with pornography, that's what it is. It's not even to the point to be aroused. It's just that they just go into like automatic. I'm not saying all people, but I think with needing to zone into something, you can zone and be very neutral. The way I wasn't upset, like, oh, I can't do this, I'm so sad. And I wasn't like, oh, my God, I can't wait. Let me see if my passport needs to be renewed. No. I'm like, oh, that's nice. No feeling. Oh, that's so nice. You know, not lust or excitement or sadness, just, oh, like observing, like disconnected, you know?
Right.
Oh, and I bet you there's a section of people, if they look at the porn or whatever, fetish or whatever, it's like disconnected. It's just what they look like. Look at, I mean, what they're witnessing. Yeah, so. Anyway.
Wow.
But that's good porn. If I'm going to look at porn, let me look at some palm trees. I guess that's, you know, healthy.
It's healthy.
It's healthy porn. Healthy porn. So many beautiful places out there in the world. You know, with all the, just all the, you know, what we talked about on Tuesday's show, just that heightened awareness with Orlando and, it really hits close to home for so many of us. And I had a conference call yesterday about a project that we're working on now that's going to start filming in August. And it focuses on the Latino, it's a story of a LGBT Latino guy. You know, like this is what, so, and I said yesterday, not that we needed this to motivate us, because we were already, you know, at a standard, but this heightens every choice we make, you know, every detail we discuss and decide on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that was part of the conversation as well, you know, and just the struggle that a person will go through who's repressing something that wants to, that is beginning to ignite a spark and is suppressing that spark because of fear of a community, of a society, you know. And quite a few LGBT Muslim people are speaking out because they feel they're part of two groups that are being marginalized and judged and vilified. That's deep. So anyway, that's where we are today.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's true because on the one hand, you know, you, anyone who is struggling to come out or come to terms with their own sexuality, it is the best way to have a closet. It's easy to hide in there and to
safe.
Take precautions to not show that side to anybody. But when you are not white.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. When you are other.
Because, you know, basically, if you're not white, the level of ignorance of the people around you could really dictate how you're going to be treated. I mean, if the majority is what people know, then those people don't have an incentive necessarily to go beyond that. And, you know, this is one country where most people don't travel outside the country. They don't have passports. If they do any traveling, if they happen to be lucky to travel without a passport, it's because they're military. So it's a different mindset. When I was growing up, I was in an environment where it was, you know, I would say really probably 50-50 by the time I really grew up. But, you know, it was in the South, and we weren't around a lot of other Asians, much less Filipinos, unless they were my family. But a lot of people, and I didn't necessarily take it as a bad thing, but I was lucky, I think, in hindsight, because a lot of people were like, "Well, where are you from?" And even in some of the, this came up actually in the last few days, it's when people don't really get it unless you're in a completely different environment and you feel that level of vulnerability. But I was part of a gifted and talented class, you know. It was like, in this part, it was still very new, the whole program for our county, and I was in elementary school. So they would kind of go around, and I think once a week they would come by and pick up the handful of students in each elementary school who made it into the program. And that would be, we would go to one other elementary school and spend the day, you know, basically learning about different things, but even the whole approach was different. You know, it wasn't a standard classroom setting. So that was our Gifted and Talented program in elementary school. And so because we went to all these different, maybe two or three other elementary schools to get to the last one where we would stay for the day, we got to see other people from not from our schools. And I think, I'm pretty sure I was not the only Asian in this group, but there weren't many of us. And I can't remember what the conversation was, but someone was talking about being someone who was Jewish, or it was like Jewish or Middle Eastern or something, and they all looked at me. Like, there was a pause, and they all looked at me.
Ooh.
Like, oh, do you know what all that's about? Like, was some culture or custom? And I looked at them like, why?
Wow.
Why do you think I would know? You know, but, and so these were you know, supposedly really, really smart kids, right? But these are also elementary school kids.
True.
And they don't know any better. They don't know the differences in skin tone or apparently different parts of the world. So
yeah, geography.
And I get it. Right. I mean, I who knows what I could have had a perm in my hair. I could have been extra dark that, you know, that year.
Right.
Just being in the sun.
Girl.
But,
mm-hmm.
I can. And so it was interesting, though, that there was that pause, almost like, you know.
Well, she's going to know because she's multi-culti. She's racially ambiguous. Let's ask her.
she's racially ambiguous, right. We don't know, but there was that pause, and everyone looked at me on that bus. It was really, it wasn't like a packed bus, but I was like, whoa, you guys, simmer down. But I had a little bit of experience already trying to tell people, you know, interestingly enough, where I was from, like, that's a quite weird, because you can't be from here. I'm like, no, I was born here. I was born downtown.
Yep.
Then they have to keep asking more questions, and I would sit through this because I wanted them to understand.
Right.
It's not, I just can't assume. I can't assume anything. I have to ask a question, but it's like, oh, you must be from some other country, but wow, your English is so good.
You're so articulate.
And then I have friends who were born here, but both of their parents are not from here. They're from Australia. So, but no one ever looks at her and say, oh, you're from Australia.
Nope.
She's American until they probably go to her house and visit her folks. And like, wow, your parents are from England. You know, isn't that, whoa, you are so different. So you can't hide skin color. You know, you can't hide that kind of stuff.
That's the first thing people look at. I don't care what anybody says when they say, I don't see. And the thing is, too, when someone says, I don't see color, well, then you're not seeing the person, and then you're kind of taking away part of who they are. There was a lot of backlash, I forget, because I don't follow sports, but there was some journalist who commented on how lovely Muhammad Ali was to him, and he's like, oh, with Muhammad Ali, I don't see color. And everybody was like, well, then you never saw him. Because his blackness and his affinity for civil rights and his politics and everything else was very much a part of who he is. I would not ever want anyone to say, oh, I don't see that she's, you know, Latina, or I don't see Latina, I don't see New York. Then you don't see me. Hello.
Right.
Then you don't see me.
And I get their intention behind it, but it's
well intended, of course. Yeah.
It is a good intention, but it does omit so many other things that would probably help bridge that misunderstanding rather than being outright, you know, racist. Like, okay, so now we know where you stand, you know. But when people say, oh, I don't see color.
That's not true, unless you're technically colorblind. But still,
You're blind. Unless you're actually
blind. Unless you're actually literally blind, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's so interesting how we have to distinguish. We want to. I mean, it's a natural thing to distinguish and classify. And
yes, that's how our brains work. Right.
That's how we do it.
Absolutely.
And I understand, you know, to some degree, like when people say that, because I've been the recipient of that, and it's so odd to hear it. Like, well, how can you not? Like, how can you not see? How, you know, you can't. So what I get from that when I've had it said to me meant that they lumped me into a majority category versus a unique category.
Right.
Because I didn't display certain traits that
you
would make me seem
so
other.
Yeah, stereotypical. Was it stereotypical? Right.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought, well, I mean, as much as I pretty much don't know a lot, you know, I haven't completely embraced my Filipino culture being here because it's not what I necessarily grew up with, you know, like 24/7, there were definitely options for me being here that I could say, no, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to eat that, you know, I don't want to try that. But I'm around it. I can't say, well, no, I don't know anything about the Philippines, because I do. It's through my family, but I also know quite a lot about what it means to be an American, and it's not as narrow-minded necessarily as people who don't have that extra bit of flavor in their environment. It's so far removed from them that they've been settled here for so long. Like, that's what we do. You know, that's
unbelievable.
You know, that's what they see on TV, and that's what they hear. That's the standard. So anything that deviates from that, gives you pause for, you know, it's like, whoa, well, you know, we never eat fried rice and fried eggs for breakfast. That's crazy talk, you know.
And with other people, all that and throw a pork chop on top of it.
Right. You know.
Please.
So yeah.
Oh, they're missing out on
so much.
They're missing out on. They're missing out on. I think we're so fortunate. I really think we are so. You know, multicultural people, people of color, people who, or even people that maybe were here for generations, but were raised to embrace the inclusivity of the world, you know, or people who love to travel. Like, it's so beautiful that your family loves to travel. Or just those with a natural born curiosity for others and culture and story. You know, you don't have to segment people by how many generations that they were here, and let's say that they were descendants of the Mayflower or whatever. It really is your character, and that will defy everything. And I can understand that gentleman's comment saying, okay, I don't see color with him because of such a beautiful character. But it would be really wonderful that you didn't have to choose.
Just
character, just one's character. And some remarkable people can really rise above it. But unfortunately, just by virtue of color, they will be vilified. You know, like our First Lady, regardless of what you think about politics, she's a class act, but she has been vilified because of what she looks like, not because what she's done,
right?
Or how gracious she's been, or what a beautiful example for young women, you know?
Right. There's already going to be a bias
right there
because
she opens her mouth
because
yeah.
of what they see, right? And it's true. And so that's the reality of things, and that is the uphill ongoing battle that people of color have, that women have. Anyone who's not, you know, basically in what you would call the majority, what is the majority that we've seen for
how many years right.
now, you know? And then so some of the backlash is that if you're a white male, you may feel like everyone's out to get you because you're never going to say something that's not going to be offensive, probably, you know? And that is kind of the backlash of kind of being being always in that position of, well, this is how it works for me. You know, that this is doesn't everybody get like really good pay, and doesn't everybody get we don't all, and not all white males do that, but you know, what are your chances? You know, you look at statistics of, you know, who is actually going to serve time for a crime that they actually committed,
right?
You know, to the full degree. And we didn't even touch about, you know, Stanford.
We didn't talk about
Stanford
that swimmer kid. Oof.
But yeah, that angered me as well.
Oh my God. But God bless our vice president. But since you mentioned it, God bless Joe Biden for the open letter that he wrote, and God bless the swimming, whatever that it is, the swimming associations. I'm saying it wrong, but they banned him.
The US
they banned
swimming.
Him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
God bless the victim for that amazing,
response.
So beautifully written, and what an allegory, what a testament, and she has minimized, if not prevented, just by that. Brave act. I really feel a multitude of sex violations from that act. I really feel that in my heart, from the awareness, and that's the other side. You know, when we talk about these events that are just happening at such quick, rapid fire. Pace that even on this show we can't even touch on local news because it's so in quick succession. We even talk about the gorilla that they shot and now the alligator with the other. It's just
Yeah.
My head's spinning. My head is spinning.
Yeah.
My head is spinning. I'm not even talking about my day-to-day. You know?
Right.
And just, let's just add all that up together. It is brutal. So the flip side is ascension and awareness. We touched about that the last show where, you know, is the ascension process happening so much that that every buried issue that everybody just said was dealt with and handled, you know, we're in a post-racist society. No, we're not. And then with gay marriage, with gay equality, that was a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost
yep.
a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost a year ago with, you know, gay marriage across the board. Oh, from that, it's a post gay bashing society. No, it's not. And it's interesting when, in a personal level, it seems like you go through a crisis, and then on top of the crisis, all your unresolved issues decide to join the party.
Mm-hmm.
And on a global level, the pattern kind of looks, you know, works the same. The algorithm functions the same, one could say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as you're ascending,
yeah.
everything that you didn't, every accountable action is going to come to the surface. And then when there's billions of people, I guess this is what happened.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, to try to make sense, linear, logical sense of it is, to me, nearly impossible.
It's not meant to be that way, you know, because it
right.
it's too overwhelming. And this, you know, the show is called the LOA Blood. It is about law of attraction. So,
right.
Anytime you do focus on something, then something, you know, everything of that similar vibration will come into your influence. You know, like you'll was that when my aunt passed away, this is Anna's mom, when she passed away.
Yeah.
And she had heart issues, and all of a sudden I kept seeing heart medication, like those infomercials, all that was kept
yeah.
coming up. And I'm like, well, you know, come on, you know, but that's sort of what I was tuned into.
Right.
And so it's, especially for those of us who are super sensitive and are paying attention. I mean, that's when we start, you know, linking these things together and either we make sense of it in that, okay, let me acknowledge it. But then, because if I know what I feel really heavy continuing to think about this, what's going to come more and more to my consciousness is more of this. So what can I learn from it? How can I not ignore it? Because that's the whole point, is a lot of times we have been ignoring it. Like, it feels a little annoying, but then, yeah, let me push it away. But this is knowing how to transmute it, transform it, and then
yeah.
elevate it. I mean, those are the next steps. It's not just I'm just going to feel bad for a long time, you know, and then then you start turning on the news and everything you hear is pretty much a tragedy, a massacre or something along those lines. And physically you already feel it. You almost end up being numb to it because it's so much. It's so much. And that's probably not the worst thing that could happen, but it isn't very healthy to numb for so long. Because then it's, at some point, your reactions may be on the same level as that. Like, well, everyone else is doing it.
Yeah.
So that's where we have to understand. It's not that feelings and emotions are bad.
Right.
And in our society, we tend to shut it down because it hurts so much. But
yeah.
we've also had a lifetime, probably lifetimes, of shutting it down so we don't ever feel it.
Right.
And then we wonder why, when it finally happens, it's not just because you stubbed your toe, you know, or it's not just because someone cut you off in traffic. It's that level of annoyance.
Yes.
A thousand.
Right, that rage.
All the times you never let it out. You never found an outlet for it. You never acknowledged it.
Yep.
You were trying to, whatever, try to keep it together because someone else may look at you weird or your family may look at you like, oh, I can't believe you pulled a tantrum. You know, there's a lot of things that we, and it's just not just, you know, as at our present age, this is how we're taught. Don't cry, especially the men, the boys,
right.
don't cry.
Right, right.
I mean, and
shake it off, walk it off. Yeah.
Who are the ones ended up committing a lot of these really big time crimes.
Right.
You know. So there, that this is all pointing to these different imbalances that's trying to balance itself out, and it's not a pretty process, obviously.
Horrendous.
But this is, I mean, this is stuff I was writing down. Like, I had a massage the other day, and I was writing it down. I was waiting for my turn with my aunt, you know, and I have massages, so the only one massage therapist. So, you know, after I was sort of just waiting, and I was still thinking about all that stuff, thinking about, you know, the Orlando stuff. I've just written all this stuff on Facebook. I'm like, oh, you know. So it isn't about what is everyone else going to do for me. Right. I mean, because I can't, you know, the things I can do, I cannot watch the news. I can just, you know, I can do those things to limit and do a filtering of what I would allow in. But I am going to be aware of what's happening. You know, it's not like I don't want
to
hear any of it. I'm going to know.
Right.
I'm going
to
know.
We need to know. Yeah.
So, yeah. So it isn't, you know, see, the things that I can do to filter, I'll do. But what does it say about me and what I'm tuned into, what we're all tuned into? It's it, you know, right now we're tuned into the hurt, into the outrage, and into judgment. I mean, a lot of people who would say, oh, well, you know, they'll pull something from the Bible, and it's, you know, all, to me,
well,
crazy that, you know, that's their take on it. So, you know, just, and so those are things that I have to look at. And but with me, like, what were or have been conflicts that I've had to deal with that I knew I hadn't paid attention to, or that I was trying to do the same thing. Like, well, I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable, so I'm not going to say anything. Or, you know, I was told I can't, you know, that's just not how it's going to work. So I had to shut it down.
Right.
And how has that affected me now? You know, how has that affected me in my relationships? I mean, this was an interesting thing to write about, but
yeah.
It's that need to not only get approval to fit in, to conform, but then to not ever find a really healthy outlet for what was actually going on.
Right.
You know, and you know, so when a 5-year-old has a temper tantrum, you know, usually they can get it out and then they're okay, you know. But if they get punished for that, then
right.
What they're learning is that they can't cry. You know, they can't
right.
express anything other than being happy.
Right.
So this is how these layers start.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're taking our cues from our, you know, our parents, from our family, from the people around us, from things that we then see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the music we listen to, all of those things, those are all influences. And if we haven't figured out how to ask questions, or how to think for ourselves, then we will have these issues. I mean, everyone's going to have them to some degree, but I mean, in this country, in America, where it's like home of the brave, you know, all that, land of the free, all that stuff.
Right.
There's so many restrictions, you know, to kind of keep it together. To, oh, we're the best country on earth. All that, you know, all these things like propaganda, you know, just the spin that we try to put to maintain that. When so many things are falling apart internally and externally. So that's what I was kind of looking at. Like, it's not that I'm not going to ask, you know, write my local, you know, representative necessarily to fix my issues.
Right.
I need to understand what they are. And
right.
not in somebody playing parent or who's going to decide for me. Like, I need to decide for me. I haven't had a chance to really do that. I need to decide.
Right.
And if it's, you know, if it's something that I ends up being probably not the direction I want to go in, then guess who gets to make that decision to change it? Me. And that, to me, felt a lot better than, well, I hope my dad sides with me on this, or I hope my mom says, okay, well, yeah, you're right. You know, like, that helps. Or even us, you know, people call in, well, yeah, we, you know, we'll be supportive. But sometimes we do the tough love. Sometimes we'll say, this isn't for us to decide. It's never been for us to decide. It's a show. You know, it's a, you know,
right.
we'll listen, but, you know, we're also not going to come to your house and, you know, do your work for you while you hang out and do something else, because it hurts too much. I mean, it's going to hurt.
Right.
So it's going to hurt.
No shortcuts.
It's going to hurt until it doesn't hurt anymore.
Right.
And half the time, it's just knowing what hurt feels and what feels good feels. I mean, a lot of times we don't even know what that is.
Right.
Because we're so numb.
Yes. Girl. That was deep.
Anyway, we have a hand raised.
Let's take the call. Let's take the call, y'all.
Hey, I want to say this is Jean.
Hey.
It is Jean.
Yes, it's me.
Hi, girl.
Interesting, and you're going to be shocked. I kind of want to piggyback with the way the conversation been going since, you know, the subject, which, you know, I can speak on color and all of this. You know, you was, you know, when people, you know, like you were saying, I guess I want to kind of explain because, like I have said that myself, and being of the, and I think it's a generational thing, because my generation, you know, we were the, which pretty much our first, you know, integration and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were taught not to see color or different, you know, like when you go to school, you're trained to accept people, you're in groups, your team, you're American, you know, you're not focusing on
right
race or your group, only when you go home, I mean, you know, like your family members.
Right.
And I think maybe when people say that, I know, like, for me, maybe we're saying culture because, you know, I see you as me. You know, we start, you know, you identify as family, and I've had people, you know, different races, the white races, which they considered me their family, treated me just like their children and stuff.
Right.
And I grew up with a grandmother. Well, she was like a nanny and a home help care, and that's how she made her money, you know, for different people, black and well as white or whoever.
Uh-huh.
And she was like that. And, of course, she could have been a teacher, but she did it amongst the neighborhood. And
right.
She worked for one family, white family. His and she cared. She became the nanny for his niece and nephew. Their parents was killed in a car accident.
Oh my goodness!
And so my grandmother was also, you know, like I was saying, she's like a home teacher, home, you know, homeschooling.
Right.
So she raised her, this girl, because she went basically, she went to the white school, and I went to the black school. But it was kind of interesting, and I know she never knew that before we graduated. We both was in the same class, and she was smart. She was, like, in the A group. We both, I mean, she would have never thought, you know, and I would have never thought, you know what I'm saying? But we didn't see that. We, you know, all the people we know, we looked at, we, you know, we looked at people, as, you know, family, neighbor, you know.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, and I think about, like, the church. I know some people get way over with that. You know, like Jesus, you know, we were taught that growing up, the Bible, you know, Jesus loved everybody. So,
right.
You know, and we were taught all of us came from the same source. You know, everybody can read that and all
right.
that. Everybody got bits and pieces. They just take it where they want to.
Yeah.
And see, and also, like, in certain homes, everybody, you know, they were trained to embrace, taught to how to embrace the world and the people that we come into, because it's all sorts of people, and it's excitement. You get to know something from everybody. And then it's like you learn, too, when you come in contact with people, too, how you, you know, you show yourself friendly, but then you'll know pretty quick whether they're friendly or foe.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So
right.
They gonna let you. That's when, you know. I think the term, you know, like, you know, culture and stuff. That's when we start. Okay, when people want to be seen, you know, they stand out, or either they pick the negative part or the positive part.
Because that's right.
And just like some of those killers, you know, those, you know, they had some hang up, or maybe it was something that they didn't want to identify, you know, just like
uh-huh.
this last one. Okay, he was raised up American, but his parents was another culture.
Right.
And so, you know, sometimes the parents, they be overzealous, you know, they trying
yep.
to make them see the other culture,
yep.
you know, in a way that they can't see because they have what they've been raised up. But
yep.
a lot of cultures do that. They teach them both. So they know how to embrace both and be both and to let everybody appreciate,
and,
you know.
And Jean, absolutely. And with this case, as you brought up, also one could use that backdrop
mm-hmm.
and a political stance as a call to action.
Yes.
When at the core, it's about self-hatred.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this gentleman, mm-hmm. I don't even call him a gentleman, this person,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Disturbed. This person was going to that club for 3 years.
Right.
That person probably could not bring himself to identify openly as homosexual. This
yeah,
person,
that's what I was saying. He
exactly.
probably was that. And his
that's
father
right.
drilled that in, you know.
Exactly.
We've
exactly.
seen that. Because I have, you know, I know people know those situations, and they stay hidden, and it just torment them, and either some kill themselves, and some just lash out at others.
And this person, I mean, what about that person's spouse? Because apparently there's a wife in the picture.
Exactly. Well, the first one, you know, she saw that and left. I mean, you know, because she's talking about it now. You know, the first one, only 5 months, and he was, you know, when
right.
she said that, she started looking back at the signs. And that's what a lot of people, you know, their signs, he showed signs. It's just that people ignored
it. The FBI saw signs and didn't do anything about it, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even the friends, you know, that they all know that he, you know, like the first things they're talking about, well, all the other people came forth and talked about, well, he befriended them and went
right.
with them. And
right. He was going to go to Disney World. Well, thanks for letting us know, people. Can you imagine? I mean, it would have been just as horrific.
Exactly.
Just as horrific. Wow.
He's just angry and the first thing his father was saying, well, he wasn't, even that first lady said, well, they called him that. So he, you know, the parents also knew what tendencies and when the child is trying to identify or whatever, and they don't accept them for who they are. They don't know how to handle it, and instead of getting somebody counseling or something, you know. If who he is and how he understood to be, that's, you know, that's the thing, you know, to let him be how he's, you know, his identity, just for instance, like Jenner, okay, look how he went mm-hmm. through, but then he finally said this is who he's comfortable in his skin, you know, who she is, you know, like being Caitlyn, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, what I'm saying, when people finally embrace, you know, you can't be and live your life for somebody else. Then
oh
you have
goodness.
To go where you identify
mm-hmm.
and be accepted. That's what everybody's wanting to be, accepted for who they are, you know.
Amen. What,
yeah, and they can't help it or change it. This is, you know, that'd be like me saying, well, I want to be another race or whatever, and some
exactly.
people do that, bleach the skin and whatever
so
else.
Sad. So
and,
sad.
And not embrace what part of you. You got to embrace all of you because everybody does. Everybody got something about themselves that they don't like.
Of course.
And they spend years trying to change it and mess up their skin, hair, body.
Everything.
And all of that, eyes, enlarged, what they think is too small or whatever.
No, ridiculous.
Yeah, so.
Oh, my God. Well, Jean, for all that wonderful energy, let's have you select a message. And,
okay,
and
can I just say one other thing? I had
course.
A miraculous experience, too.
Oh, you better tell us that. Hello. Save you the best for the end. Go ahead.
Well, my sister, well, she had basically, she's lost a job, was laid off because she's,
right.
you know, she worked for employment thing, and I know it's political stuff, and they used to call them back and once the money's and stuff, whoever's president. But anyway, her picture, when she graduated, she sent me a graduation picture of her professor and her. She's always smiling and stuff. And she sent me some roses back in 95 when I was sick and almost died and stuff.
Oh.
And I have those roses on a dresser near a window. All those years, I always see those roses all these years. I had been saying a prayer for her, you know, that she get the right job and she won't move. You know, she's kind of stable.
Right.
But this morning, the way the sun, I guess, came in, I thought it was the sun. There's two roses was lit up, and, you know, her face, and it was like, I said, you know, it's like, you know, like, okay, is this what I'm seeing? I mean, it was like lit up. And I said, let me capture this. You know, I went down to go get my little camera phone, which I don't really hardly know how to use pretty much know-how. But the only thing was, those two, I couldn't get her face. You know, like the picture was lit up with them two roses in her face. And I said, like, and I was saying a prayer. I was like, oh, what is going on, you know? And so then, so beautiful. I took the picture. The only thing that would show up was this two roses. I thought it was red and yellow. But when I look at the roses, like the bottom, it was like a white. It was next to like a white. It's multicolored. And they was made up from a florist in New York. So she was from, you know, my family in New York. So right. Anyway, it was like a white. A red, and I guess it's like a pink, but it showed up. I guess the way it was highlighted, them two roses, the red one and, you know, the other one. And I mean, you know, and I called my sister, you know, just before the show because I was getting up to listen to you all.
Right.
And then I called her, and of course, I, you know, I was still kind of, you know, spooked. Not really spooked,
no,
but you know.
You were just marveled by it. It was
yeah,
like, oh,
exactly.
Right,
and
right,
no,
right.
It's been like, well, what is happening? What is telling me? You know, like, what does this mean? And so when I called her and I said, like, what you doing? Because she's there, you know, stuff
right.
always. And she said, I'm reading the Bible. And I said, that's the perfect answer you could have gave me. I said, because I had been praying for you. I said, this picture of these flowers of you is lit up, you know.
Wow.
You know, and I mean, it was just awesome. At least it let her know because she'd been kind of troubled, you know what I'm saying. So
sure,
to let her know. I said, well, God is listening to your prayers or whatever. I said,
wow,
I guess
nice.
That's what it let me know. So
very
that
nice.
Was.
And you're the messenger.
Well, I don't know, but I said,
well,
have to
you, yes,
share
you
this
were.
With Liz
you thought you
today.
Called her?
But then you can all talk about the other stuff, so, you know, that's why I had so much to
I
share.
Love it. But that's the blend, you know, that's the whole thing. It's
yeah.
all inclusive. But, yeah, I think that I want you to receive, Jean, that, yes, you are the messenger, because you were like, I don't know, and you just sort of swept that in the corner. I'm like, no, give me the broom. You're not sleeping nothing nowhere. Give me
but I always had, I mean, it's been a long time. I always used to have stuff and like it was normal, but today I guess it just really, I mean, that was really beautiful. I mean, I couldn't describe, I mean, it's just
No, that's
awesome.
Beautiful, but just, but receive that.
I receive it
as your experience and also receive that you are a most worthy messenger. Because that's what I need to say to you.
Thank you. Yes.
And speaking of that, you're going to pick the message, and
yes,
it's not,
ma'am.
And it's a message for it's for all of us listening. It's not like a message specifically, because
for
you
me.
Asked for it. I want you to pick that because every once in a while I do that. Now I have longtime listener be the one to pick a message just for all of us. So I would like for you to do that. So I'm ready when you guys are.
Okay.
All right, baby girl. Okay. And the number for this is 202. Oh, girl, this is perfect. Pay attenzione. The wake of revealing one's vulnerability of the tender heart creates a gateway to the connection in the realms of a multidimensional life. Because, Miss Thing, you had a multidimensional experience. Can you confirm or deny?
Yes, I did.
Yes. So let me read this again. Understanding and owning and claiming that you had a multidimensional experience, and in that claiming of it, that will become the new normal. And it doesn't mean that this is going to happen all the time, but that you are able to receive within the flow of those things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to read it one more time. The wake of revealing one's vulnerability of the tender heart creates a gateway to the connection in the realm of a multidimensional life. And that's the whole point with all the madness that we've been talking about for too many shows now, because so many crazy things are happening, that what anchors us, what grounds us, is knowing that we are living a multidimensional life.
Yes.
So when you share such a beautiful moment of the roses and how they impacted you, that's what keeps the sanity and the aspiration to continue to experience joy in the chaos. 202.
Wow. Wow. Mm.
Well, the main number here is a zero in the middle, which is source.
Yep.
And source in its perfection and in its wholeness is flanked on either side by the number two, which is collaboration, connection, union. So this is the big picture here is just that inner world, inner being, multi-dimensional being connection that is connecting you to all your different versions of yourself, past, present, future, and also to everybody else around you, past, present, future. I mean, this is that overall connection. So being aware of what you are vibrating, being aware of whatever you're feeling at the time and knowing how much power that is, because it's connecting to everything of the like vibration throughout all dimensions. So knowing that you feel it and then saying, okay, what else would I want to feel? And we talk about moving up from a certain feeling, whether if it's heavy, you can't go from depression and grief to, overflowing joy in a split second, not unfortunately yet in this form, because it just takes a little bit of time, but,
mm-hmm.
but knowing when something feels just a little bit better, that should feel so significant. Hopefully it will, that you'll start choosing that, like, okay, yeah, that's, I'm now in a better feeling place, so I can maybe look at it from a different perspective, or I'm not trying to solve the problem by being in this low level vibration, because this is not going to solve the problem. It's just adding to it. So this sequence 202 to say, yeah, be aware of what you're being connected to. And you add it up, it ends up being a four. So understanding your foundation, which is what the four is about, understanding your foundation will help you stay as grounded as you need to be, when you need to be, and then it helps you to move it to the next level. But a lot of us kind of stay in the same spot because we either don't feel we're worthy enough to feel happy or to feel a little bit better, or we don't trust it. So this is saying, the stronger your foundation is, then the easier it becomes to train your thoughts to start really loving yourself and allowing some of these extra, special gifts that you have within you to guide you, so that you're not just blindly being led or blown around by everyone else's turmoil. You got enough stuff going on, but what are you in control of? And it's not just you here, it's you in all these different spaces, right?
Right.
It's a powerful situation to be in, and we are multidimensional, so pay attention to that. Good message. Good message.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
all right.
So just embrace the flow of it all. Jean.
Yes. I'm trying to. I was aware of synchronicity and taught that by Brenda, but like, wow, I guess a whim keep, more and more things,
yeah,
to be aware of and
yep.
just to see.
Yep.
Yes. Thank you. Love y'all. And thank you for the beautiful
message.
All right.
Thank you, darling.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too.
You too. All right. We have two more calls, and we have less than 10 minutes, and I do have to leave pretty much at 9:30.
Me too.
So,
we have to, yeah, Firmag's at 9:30. We really can't do the show's over.
Well, we have two more calls left, so we're going to go in order.
Let's just knock them out.
Yeah. Good morning. Is that you, Opulence?
Hello?
Hi, caller, who's this?
Hello?
Maybe it's not.
Mimi.
Oh, it's me.
Hello?
Okay. Hi.
Yeah. How are you guys? Just
Hi,
wanted to say hello.
Good. Hi, good to hear you. How's everything?
Everything is okay, and thank you. And I'm so glad I can call and talk to you guys and send my love to you guys. And please keep up your good show, okay? I know you have
you.
To go.
Oh, thank you, Mimi. Mm-hmm. So give us a call back when we have more time in the show, and then we can have a more in-depth conversation.
When's the next show?
The next show will be
Sunday.
On Sunday at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time.
All right, okay. So have a good weekend, okay, and I'll talk to you when I'm free again, okay? Everything
all right,
is okay.
Beautiful.
And
love
you guys, okay? Bye.
Bye, darling.
Love you.
Okay, great. So we have one more. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Let's see. Eric,
hello.
Good morning. Hello.
Hi.
Caller, who's this?
Hi, who's this?
This is Tonetta. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, and have you called in before? Are you a first-time caller?
First-time caller.
Okay, great. So we're just going to ask for permission to connect to your energy, please.
Okay, yes, you do have my permission.
Thank you. And we're in the final few minutes, so we'll make this quick but impactful. What's on your mind? What do you need today?
I really need to know what's going to go on here with my love life. I'm really confused regarding a man from my past, Dan, who has come in and out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trying to move forward, and that man that I'm trying to move forward and maybe try to start something with is actually like my boss, where he works in an office and he lets all the nurses know their schedule and where they're going and stuff like that. So
okay.
If I go and make a move and say something, I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know if I could jeopardize my job.
Yes. You got to jeopardize your job if you it's boundaries. The boundaries. So it's about what do you value more? I mean,
mm-hmm.
maybe you can look at the big picture and look for if you really have feelings for this person, feelings that are more than just. It depends on what you want to invest in. Right.
Well, I don't know how he feels. You know, I mean, I've been working there for over a year now, and when I go in to work from time to time, he'll make compliments. He'll say how nice I look.
But the most important thing, I don't mean to cut you off, but just in the interest of time, so forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
What's most important is how you feel about what is stable in your life. So it's not the best idea to confuse the boundaries, because it's so funny when I get things in pictures and images, and when you introduce yourself, I saw an image of a fence, and I'm like, why am I getting a fence? Now I know why I'm getting a fence, because a fence
mm-hmm.
is a boundary.
Right, and plus also my ex, he keeps seesawing back and forth. I feel like he's on the fence too, and that whole situation is driving me insane too, and I'm trying to move forward with a whole new man, a whole new picture, a whole new dynamic. I mean...
Well, I think you have very marketable skills. Just, I don't know what you do, but I feel like you could... I think if you, I think that it's like the job and the men are like two different things, and I think you are it's a little dangerous what you're thinking about here, because you don't want to jeopardize the stability of work. So if you really are into this guy, forget how he feels, because he's not calling us, you're calling us, so I'm just focusing on your energy. I would look for another job. I would look for an upgrade.
Well, the only thing is I went in for my yearly review, and they liked me so much. I got a dollar raise.
But do you see how you're setting yourself up to sabotage all this progress?
Oh, I know. I mean, they took photos of me for future advertisement. I mean.
But it's about you. It's about you, and I feel that you need to be very careful and not impulsive. And I feel like, you know, you could be at happy hour, like you'll have that extra cocktail, then you're going to send like a little, I feel really good text to this guy at work, or you know what I mean? Like you got, be very careful. Be very.
I was hoping that he would approach me, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Why would he? He doesn't want to jeopardize his job.
Right.
So do you understand what we're saying? I'm going to actually, because we only have a couple minutes, I'm going to actually turn this over to Elisa real quick. I think be careful, and my advice to you right now is don't do anything.
Right.
Don't do anything. I just want Elisa to weigh in. And then give us a call back when we have more time. We're on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. But I'm going to throw this over to Elisa real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole thing sounds confusing. I mean, I think I really can't remember what your question was necessarily, but it sounds like you're juggling a couple of different scenarios with different people. One represents your past. That I think that's not really a question. I think you know. It's just another thing that gets you to consider what your options are. So for me, hearing all this stuff, it sounds like you do have options. It's almost like you can maybe expand your options so it's not just, oh, do I go take a step back on the path for somebody I've already had history with, or do I look at this work situation that seems like a nice thing because, you know, he's there, he's obviously you think he's interested, but because the situation, again, the situation isn't so clear cut because it means having to pay attention to how you're going to react in the workspace. Being mindful of outside of the workspace if anything comes of it. So, I mean, the questions that you may have is, you know, you have a question about your love life. Well, you have a lot happening. It's just, this isn't about what the other person's going to do.
Right.
This is what you feel you're worthy of having. Because you don't have just those two choices. I mean, if you have that kind of game, you could probably cultivate others, and that is actually a little more clear cut, a little more on the, or maybe a lot more on the, wow, this actually feels right. I'm not feeling like I have to have all these different conditions, you know?
Right.
There's a lot of conditions right now. And at the heart of it is that you don't want to have these kind of conditions. You just want to feel free and have it flow and have a good time and then see what happens. But like Liz said, I mean, the work situation, that workplace situation, part of the appeal is because it's right there. You see this person every day, but that's way too much. Like you said, he's kind of like your boss. And that's like,
oh, yeah,
like having a best friend.
He is my boss.
When does that situation ever really pan out? Unless you get married, and even if that happens, you probably can't work in the same department. And that's sort of how a lot of companies are.
Well, you know,
so
it's funny because
there's a lot of confusion for you, but you have to be able to sift through and really know what's going to be good for you, and not so much is the other person feeling the same way. That's almost irrelevant. You have to decide that sort of relationship you want to have in any of those situations.
Right. I understand what you're saying, and I'm very intuitive myself. And what I've been really feeling since I've gotten all these feelings about him is I feel like something keeps telling me in my gut he may not be there much longer, meaning he may be going on to somewhere else, and then
perfect.
I'm not going to be able to find them, though. But I'm
Perfect. He might be moving on. You can't entertain the rabbit hole of you might be able to find him, you may not, whatever. So we actually have to say goodbye, but I do want to say this. For right now, the advice is don't do anything. If you want to keep your job, don't do anything.
Right.
And we're going to wrap up the show, but we do say when we're on again if you want to give us a call back when we have more time. But right now, the advice is please don't do anything. Okay, that's just in your best interest. Anyway, thanks to everybody for a wonderful show.
Yeah.
If you need to get thank you, darling. Be well.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get a hold of us, you can email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. We're scheduled to be back on the air next this coming Sunday at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And in the meantime, remember to follow the feeling,
To you.
To you. And, well, what a ride we went on today. Every show, it's another wild ride. So thank you, everybody, for calling in and listening. We love you. And until the next time, take care.
Love you guys. Bye.
Love you. Bye.